It is a Monday afternoon, and we have got a hell of a lot going on. And you know, we talk about Mondays on this show, and I mean, there's a light shower right now in West End, and some scattered showers around the area. And I can't believe that there is going to be a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico November the 4th. For those people who want to put together a scenario that the end of the world is near, I mean, I think you got some pretty good information going for you here. It's just crazy, but the good news is it doesn't look like it's going to be severe for anybody, but still, you know, something we have to watch. And the fact that a hurricane is entering the Gulf of Mexico on November the 4th is still kind of crazy. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm really glad you're with us. So the Saints lost again, 7 in a row, and they lost to one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Carolina Panthers. They lost by 1 point, but it might as well have been 50. I wrote a blog about the firing of Coach Dennis Allen. It's something I started talking about last year. And, you know, there was some criticism of me focusing on this, and I didn't focus just on this. It was a lot, but I just had totally lost confidence in Dennis Allen. And there seemed to be some suggestion that since I hadn't played the game, I really didn't know what I was talking about. There are a lot of experts, and I see some of the ex-players who actually were part of the game, and they don't always get it right. So you can be part of the game, and I hear about predictions. I see the predictions that are not always accurate. I have a lot of respect for people who play the game. But you can also get feelings about situations, and I just had a feeling about what I was seeing as a fan in terms of how the players were reacting to head coach Dennis Allen. I thought his unusual calm at the end of games, I just thought that was just somehow not appropriate, just very, very strange. And in the blog that I wrote, The Firing of Saints Coach Dennis Allen, which is on our website, WWL.com, it's also posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where you can comment. I talk about how there were people who thought Dennis Allen was the right coach. The Saints promoted him as the right coach. That was the easy decision. They made the easy decision. Let's hope they don't do that this time. However, we just heard from special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi, and he is the new interim coach of the Saints. I really like what I heard. And we're going to talk about this afternoon. Also, tomorrow is Election Day, so we're going to be talking a lot about that. And the day after Election Day, Wednesday afternoon, we're going to be doing our show live from the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank. It's a 2000 Belchase Highway in Gretna, a great new addition to Gretna. It's the grand opening, so we're going to be at this bank on location the day after the election. So you know we're going to have a lot to talk about. If you have a chance to come by, I would love to meet you. I'm not going to have many, but I'm going to have a few of the Scoot on the Air tuned in t-shirts. And these are for people who are actually tuned into the show, not just physically, but you're emotionally tuned in. In other words, you get it. I mean, a lot of people listen, and they don't always get the show. But this is especially for those of you who are actually tuned into the show and you want a Scoot on the Air tuned in t-shirt. I have a few of those to give away. Plus, I always like to meet you, because when I meet you, I get to put a face with the audience. And that's really cool for me. So it's a Wednesday afternoon at the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank at 2000 Belchase Highway in Gretna. So what I heard from Rizzi is that everything is going to be evaluated and reevaluated. And I really got the impression when he said that we've been doing things the same for too long, that there's been a routine with the Saints that has not been good. And, you know, sometimes you get into a routine and things get stale. Sometimes routines lead to things being stale. And you might think about this with your own business. You know, maybe things are getting stale. It's time to maybe shake things up. He said, I can promise you two things, passion and fight. And those were the two things that I thought were missing under Dennis Allen. Look, I'm sure Dennis Allen's a nice guy, and I hope the best for him. And I'm sure he's going to end up as defensive coordinator of another team. But he was not right for the Saints. Mickey Loomis should have known that, but he didn't. And he elevated. It was the easy move to make for the Saints upper management and ownership. Let's just promote Dennis Allen. That was the easy move. I wonder how much Mickey Loomis is distracted with the Pelicans, because you know he oversees the Pelicans as well. Not every general manager for a Saints team does that. And the question is, I hope this isn't the case, But has Mickey Loomis gotten stale? Has he gotten into a routine, just a routine? All the fans are going to come. They're always going to be in the seats. As I said last hour, the depth of the disgruntled Saints fans has reached a point that I haven't seen before. I remember the bags on the heads. I never put a bag on my head, and I wouldn't. But I remember that frustration. But the frustration that Saints fans have now is running so deep that I think the Saints are in fear of having to be concerned about putting fans in the stands. Because the minimal hope that fans should, I think that fans deserve, is the idea that your team might make it to the playoffs. So again, we've got a lot to get to. But, you know, this implied routine within the New Orleans Saints that Rizzi is talking about, I think it's important to focus on that and think that just, you know, things were so routine that, you know, players were not really inspired. They just, this is the way we do it. They just went out and did it. I got a feeling that Rizzi is going to shake things up. But I wonder if the players can have new respect for a guy who was just a special teams head coach special teams coach, and now he's the head coach. Can they see him in this new light and have new respect for him? I hope that happens. And last night I was listening to The Point After on WWL, and Bobby Hebert and Steve Geller were talking about the other special teams coordinator who became head coach is John Harbaugh, head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Needless to say, he's done a pretty damn good job. And Rizzi also talked about how he's PO'd, and he understands that the fans are PO'd, said the fans should be PO'd. So he says that everything's going to be reevaluated. I hope that's even Derek Carr when it comes to who's the quarterback next season. Derek Carr needs to earn that position now that Dennis Allen is gone, and there was this, I guess, deal between Dennis Allen. You got the feeling there was a deal between Dennis Allen and Derek Carr, that no matter what, if Dennis Allen was head coach, Derek Carr was the starting quarterback. No, Derek Carr needs to earn that. And he needs to be the best option even into next season, or he shouldn't be the starting quarterback. All right, we're going to get to some of your calls. Ian Hoke is our senior producer with the press conference. We had a busy beginning of our show, and I didn't get a chance to say good afternoon to Ian. Ian is at the studio at the station. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. Wow, busy.
Man,
manic.
A lot. Crazy. A lot going on.
Too much. It's funny, you know, people have been saying, you know, I listened to The Point After yesterday, and I'm reading some of the text messages while that show is happening. Fire Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen got to go. Fire Dennis Allen. Fire him. Fire him. Fire him. Fire him. And then when it happened this morning, I somehow managed to still be surprised. Like, I don't know. My top line reaction was like, no way. They did not. You got to be kidding me. Of course he did. Of course. I mean, it's been inevitable. Inevitable is a word that's been getting tossed around a lot today. But still, somehow, when the moment happens, I'm still caught off guard by it, I guess.
It was totally inevitable. And again, I don't want to go into the details, but there was some criticism of me talking about this last year. And so it turns out that, you know, yes, this was something that needed to happen. I'm kind of charged up about Rizzi and the way he sounds. And I'm wondering why Mickey Loomis didn't see that in Rizzi over at Dennis Allen when he was trying to promote somebody from within. And what if Rizzi kicks ass for the rest of the season? Does he get the job next year? Again, you know, we don't have the answers to these questions. You want to do a couple of texts before we get to our calls?
Ukulele Rick is listening today. He says, well, Coach Rizzi certainly has charisma with two Z's. Nice work there, Rick. Yeah the Zoomers, like you know, the Zoomers, the kids nowadays, when they say somebody has charisma, they say, oh, he's got Riz. They'd say
got Riz.
Harry Styles has big Riz. You know, You could say, you know, Rizzi's got the Riz. Wait, are we calling him the Riz or just Riz?
Well, you know, I think they call him Rizzi, but I mean, I guess we could call him
at the press conference. I feel like I didn't make this up. Somebody at the presser definitely just said, "Hey, Riz, what are you going to do about this?" Whatever. I think Riz is just what they're calling him out there.
Maybe
I guess.
So. I love when he said, you know, something about nobody beats the Riz. He heard about that, you know, Seinfeld. Nobody beats the Riz.
James and Harvey is listening. He says, "What a difference 8 weeks makes. All NFL teams have injuries. This team needs a doctor, and not the physician kind, the psychological kind. They need to be injected with a sense of coherence, unity, common focus, and having fun. Like Deuce said, just look at the film. They can see the mechanics and the mistakes."
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, the average fan can see it. And it's obvious. And so, you know, the idea that, you know, the coach is not held accountable is ridiculous. I mean, coaches are leaders, and they have to instill some sort of cohesiveness and some sort of passion in the team, and they've got to win the respect of the players, and I don't think Dennis Allen had the respect of the players.
Here's a text that says, admit it, you were not saying crap after the first 2 weeks.
No, listen, I admit it, because you know what? I mean, the team was winning.
Why would we do that?
They were winning. I didn't know why they were winning, because I still felt the same about Dennis Allen, but they were winning. So, I mean, yeah, you're right, but, you know, it fell apart at that point, so... From last year to this year, I think this was a decision that was inevitable. All right, if you want to join us, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We also have to start talking about the election tomorrow. If you want to talk about the firing of Dennis Allen and your comments on the new interim head coach, Saints special teams coordinator, the Riz, if you want to talk about that, I made notes. I was impressed with a lot that he said. And, you know, I feel good about the Saints and the Falcons this coming weekend. I wasn't feeling so good after they lost yesterday and Dennis Allen was still the head coach. And also, you can comment on my blog, The Firing of Coach Allen, on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I'll try to get to some of those comments later in the show. But we've got an election tomorrow, and we've got a lot to talk about, including Donald Trump performing fellatio with an alleged virtual microphone that was kind of invisible. I mean, dude... That's not something that is in anybody's political playbook. So what's going on? And what's the spin that somebody wants to put on that? CNN conservative commentator Scott Jennings was suggesting that, well, we don't really know what he was doing. Scott, you know what he was doing. The question is, why was he doing it? And the misinformation continues. The fake stories about voter fraud already out there planning for a contesting of the election. What if Trump wins? Should we believe that voter fraud led to Trump's victory, since there's so much voter fraud allegedly already out there? Again, we've got a lot to get to. I'm Scoot on the Air. The Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Hang on, we're coming right back with more on WWL. All right, listen, I know there's a lot of negative stuff out there, but let's try to be positive, okay? A lot of talk about violence and riot fences are going up at the vice presidential residence in Washington, D.C., and at election centers around. There's a tightened security, and there should be tightened security. I just hope that there is no violence. And, you know, both sides are looking at the other side as being the violent side. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. And... let's be honest about where the violence even comes from. Vice presidential nominee for the Democrats, Governor Walz, Friday in a speech, he referred to Elon Musk as that guy, that gay guy. Now look, Elon might be a little effeminate, but take it from somebody who a lot of people think is gay because of the way he looks. Elon Musk is not gay because he might look a little effeminate. Van Jones just really exploded over a comment from Scott Jennings, the Republican who's one of the commentators on CNN. Scott Jennings said, is that what he was doing? When he was referring to simulating oral sex with a microphone wasn't there, but he was simulating doing oral sex with a microphone. And I guess Scott Jennings' best defense is, because it was obvious what Donald Trump was doing. So his best defense would be, well, are we sure that's what he was doing? What else? Was he trying to discover a new way to eat a hot dog? I mean, it was pretty obvious that that's what he was doing. It was pretty disgusting. And what about all of you who are so concerned about, what am I going to tell my kids if they see a drag queen? What did you tell your kids when Donald Trump was pretending to have oral sex with a microphone? Mom, Dad, what is he doing? What did you tell them? If they asked that question, what would you tell them? I mean, to me, that was disgusting. And totally inappropriate. And you know I'm no kind of prude. look, I'd love to know your spin on this. If you're a MAGA supporter and you've got a good spin for Donald Trump attempting to mock oral sex with a microphone, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Michael in Metairie. Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, nobody beats the Riz. He's gold, Jerry.
He's gold. I love it.
Anyway, I want to congratulate President Pinocchio, whose nose grows to an abnormal length as the election approaches, for becoming number one like he always wants to be. He has surpassed Charles Fonzie as the greatest fraudster in history and the greatest liar in history. In fact, the future historians will not refer to a Ponzi scheme, but to a Trump scheme. And here's the deal. These people who vote for him, who think he's a good businessman, because they watch a TV show which has a scripted result for a business success, and they don't pay attention to the two casinos he's lost, the great university, the 300,000 U.S. deaths under him, led the world on COVID, a airline, a wine company, and many, many others. That's him. Okay, so here's the real deal on why he did that to the microphone. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. What happened was he is jealous of Kamala and everything she does. So she gets Eminem to come to one of her rallies, okay? He is fuming. And guess what? He says, I'm going to do my own Eminem and surpass it. I'm going to masturbate the microphone.
Well, okay. I mean, I get that alliteration. Michael, that's an interesting spin. But again, what Donald Trump did, I mean, for those of you who are so concerned about what you're going to tell your kids when Democrats act inappropriately or when people who are considered liberal do something, or what about drag queens? Or what about gay people? What are we going to tell our children? What did you tell your kids? Or what should parents tell their kids if the kids had questions about what Donald Trump was pretending to do with the microphone? What would you tell them? Let's go to Audrey in Houma. Audrey, you're on WWL. Hello, Audrey. Okay, let's go to Kathy in La Place. Hey, Kathy, welcome to the show.
I want to talk about, you know, that guy you had on this morning around 11 o'clock and he was talking about the election?
No, ma'am. That was during Neil Norman's show.
He was talking about the elections and talking about the polls and how Kamala can't catch up and all of that. So the guy who was doing the show, he asked him about the Iowa poll that was just done, and the lady has Kamala up by 3 points. Well, he said he didn't believe it and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, if you go and you look at her polls over the last, say, 5 years, she's been very accurate. She's been off like 1 point, 2 points. So she is very accurate, and he could say what he want to say. But if that poll was, you know, pretty accurate, they need to be worried about some other states. And number two is, I watch the rallies because I'm working for the Democratic Party. I'm an independent. So I watch the rallies. Anything that is out of sync or any lies that are being told, I have to go and I have to correct everything on the platforms. But I saw that rally that day, and nobody can make an excuse for him. He took his hand and went up and down that mat, and then he acted. He opened his mouth like he was doing, you know.
I don't want to get too graphic with that.
It was horrible.
But, you know, it was obvious what he was doing. All right, Kathy, glad you called the show. Right now, we don't know who's going to win. Yeah, there's a poll in Iowa that really PO'd Mr. Trump. He's really pissed off about this one. But, you know, I love that the right-wing radicals dismiss the polls if they're negative, but they believe the same polls if they're positive. And right now, you go through the top pollsters, especially the ones that we see on TV, like Steve Kornacki from NBC, who's often on MSNBC, or CNN's polling guru, Harry Enten. We see these people, and right now they say it is historically tied. It's tied. Even in the swing states, it's really, really close. Kamala has a little bit of an edge. Trump has a little bit of an edge. Trump has an edge in one poll in Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia. But Kamala Harris is beating Trump in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Nevada. And right now with the Electoral College count. And as I said last week, I think it was, there are those who are predicting that it's going to be an Electoral College landslide. That as close as these polls are, it's going to break for one candidate or the other, and it's going to be obvious who the winner is. Let's go to Charles in Baton Rouge. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
Well, as my alter ego is here today, I'm going to be a MAGA supporter because I really have some feeling for those folks because it's not looking real good for the MAGA king, but you can believe the facts or you can believe Donald, and I choose to believe Donald. And what he was doing is not what you were saying, because that would be perverse. He was teaching children how to eat a lollipop, a popsicle. Remember them popsicles? You break them off two at a time. You break one off, and you suck one, and you give your friend one, and he can suck it.
Right.
And they got to And if you suck it too hard, that stick goes down your throat, and you have to go to the emergency room. Done that a few times when I was a kid.
Anyway, Charles, that's a good... That's a good spin on that. The only thing is that, you know, you don't use your hand and actually massage the popsicle itself. And that's what he appeared to be doing. Whatever it is that he was putting in his mouth, he was also kind of massaging it with his hand.
Well, you see, there you go, Scoot. You're believing what you see.
Oh, yeah.
Not what they say. And you got to be a MAGA supporter, you got to believe everything they say. That's why when my friends still go to them churches that, you know, the MAGA churches now, they understand that Trump is the new orange Jesus and he is going to save us all and lead us to the promised land. Now, where it is and how he's going to get us there, you know, the Lord will reveal to us in good time. So I appreciate your time, and I'm glad I had a chance to defend the thousands of us, millions of the 70 million people voted already, and I guarantee you 95% of them voted for Donald.
Well, you know,
You watch and see.
We'll have to wait and see. All right, Charles, I'm glad you called the show. If you have a comment you want to join us this afternoon, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And I remind you that this is the United States of America. This is not a revolution. This is an election. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. And the side that loses, if they launch any kind of violent attacks against anybody, they're going to be exposed as anti-American. They're the ones who are going to be the enemy from within. Now, again, who's that going to be? If Trump loses, is there going to be violence? If Kamala Harris loses, is there going to be violence? I hope not, but I'm concerned about the possibility. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Tomorrow's Election Day, and if you haven't voted, I hope you plan on voting tomorrow. And I hope you vote not as a Republican, not as a Democrat. I hope you vote as an American, because we are Americans first. Things have changed in my lifetime where being an American is not as important as being a Republican or a Democrat in the minds of far too many Americans. We're defined as political party members before we're defined as Americans. And I always believed that we were Americans first, and we were Republicans and Democrats and independents and all of that next, but that's not the way it is. There has been information picked up from far-right, right-wing groups that are planning to disrupt Election Day. And there's an analysis from the New York Times, credible news source, of some of these Telegram channels, and they're picking up a call to violence and to deny the results of the election. So I hope this is a bunch of BS, but I fear that it may not be. And by the way, don't define all Trump supporters as being violent, because they're not. A lot of people who are voting for Donald Trump are voting for him because they believe that's their best choice. But they're not into the MAGA movement. They're mainstream Republicans. They're moderate Democrats. And they don't like Kamala Harris. They don't like Democrat ideology. And they're voting for Donald Trump because they think that's their best choice. So let's not define all of them by the nut jobs that empathized with and actually participated in the January 6th riots. Let's go to Audrey in Houma. Audrey, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Scoop, for taking my call. On Saturday, my Democratic Executive Committee had a float that went in all the subdivisions and on the bayous. And as we went down Main Street, we passed in front. We didn't realize the Republicans had a group there. And our sheriff, Jason Bergeron, who's a Republican, had a Trump sign on his official card, and he led the parade. And I heard on Channel 8 and then saw it in the local newspaper that this was illegal because he used an official vehicle to put the Trump sign. But as our float slowed down in front, one of our members looked outside and said, "Would you believe they're giving us the middle finger?" Some of them, not, like I said, it's not all Republicans for sure. But this was uncalled for, and we just told the committee that we don't need that sort of activity on our float. Please do not respond in any manner. And this morning, one of my tourists from France, from Paris, left, and they said, she said, "I've come here 8 years ago," and she said, "if the United States re-elects former President Trump," she said, "I am never setting foot," and she was in her early 40s, "in the United States again." And I've heard this repeatedly in my bed and breakfast from all the different countries. They cannot believe that he was allowed, because of all the felonies, to run for office. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Right,
and I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. Please go vote tomorrow.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. It's people's right to flip off a float that represents Kamala Harris. It's a freedom. It's a right. Might not be the right thing to do, but it's a freedom. It's a right. I'm not surprised that that would happen down on the bayou. There are people who are willing to express themselves that way, and that's where we are. I don't think that's that big of a deal, but it reflects the great political divide that we have in America. I'm going to ask Ian next hour after the news if we have any good text messages that do a good job spinning what Donald Trump, a Republican, did with the microphone, or pretended to do with the microphone, mocking fellatio, mocking oral sex with a microphone, with his mouth and his hands. Now, what about the children watching? What about the children at the rally? There might have been somebody who didn't know, who might have asked, "What's he doing?" Most of us knew. Teenagers are going to know, believe it or not. You might not want to know that. You might not want to believe that, but teenagers know. But there might have been some young kids that might not have known what he was doing. I think we could have a little fun. Somebody suggested, he was just sucking a popsicle. You break the popsicle in half, and you take the other half, and you just, you suck on that. You put that in your mouth. He was doing any other good spin on that? Anyway, that was just, to me, that was totally deplorable and unnecessary and just crazy. All right, if you want to join us, did you want to add something there, Ian? Okay, all right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Those who get all upset about drag queens, what are we going to tell our kids? And they say nothing about Donald Trump pretending to have oral sex with a microphone. It just shows how divided we are as a country. Yeah, if we don't stand together, we're going to fall, and that's exactly what the Russians want. And there's some new fake video about Haitian immigrants in this country. It's a fake video. It's been traced back to the Russians. And some of you who are supporting Donald Trump are falling for this, because it's creating this great divide. And what they're doing is they're pretending to be conservatives, and they're setting up websites and social media to where you're responding, and it's helping divide us. So remember who's doing that. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1984, Prince kicked off his Purple Rain Tour in Detroit. The opening act was Sheila E. That Purple Rain Tour went to the Superdome February 1st, 1985. I always thought that was 84, but it was 1985, and I was there. One of the best concerts I've ever been to. All right, so did Saturday Night Live at NBC, did they break the FCC rules? Did they do something illegal by having Kamala Harris appear in a cameo appearance at the beginning of Saturday Night Live? We'll talk about that coming up next. Also, we'll get to more of your texts coming up. I'm Scoot. It's Manic Monday on WWL.